Typically, it's 7:55 after a game. We move Ray up a few minutes here today, though, to get his thoughts at this time. And Ray is brought to us by Verizon. Phones, they're not made to be broken, but life does happen. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition, guaranteed, and get a great deal on one of the best 5G phones with the unlimited Ultimate. All right, let's talk to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger. Good morning, Ray.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, great, Ray. Man. Always better when we talk to you, Ray. All right. So, Ray, this is going to be one of those things where we're going to go to the end, and then we're going to back it up and go earlier. So let's just start with this. Your biggest headline takeaway when that game ended, in the first 5 minutes after the game, you're thinking what?
First thing I'm thinking is it's, hello, Dallas Goedert. How nice to welcome you back to the offense. You know, I mean, to me, that was one of the things that I was really having scratching my head through the first two games is how are you not making him a bigger part of the offense? How, you know, I know it's all well and good to say that he's become a really good blocker. Yeah, he has, but let's not neglect what a great receiver he is. And I thought that it amazed me how little they were utilizing him. And just a couple times that he would get a target, I mean, there were all these little dinky-dunky kinds of things, and he's much more than that. And especially in a situation where you were without A.J. Brown, when you were without one of your big-time playmakers, this guy's a big-time playmaker. Well, use him, you know? And I thought that, and certainly yesterday, I mean, a career game for him, 10 catches, 170 yards. I mean, he was, in many ways, the difference in this game. And That was my feeling after the game. Grateful the defense played well and all, but if you're asking me what was my one big thought, it was great to see Dallas Goedert back in the offense. Now let's try and keep him there for the rest of the season.
So, Ray, let's go about an hour before the end of the game. So it's around 3 o'clock, 3:15. Eagles still have a goose egg up on the board. At that time, what were you thinking about Jalen Hurts? What were you thinking about Nick Sirianni?
You have to be concerned about Hurts. I mean, you just do. I mean, he's just making too many mistakes. And it's going to be very hard to keep winning if he's going to keep making mistakes the way he's making them. Do you realize, I mean, we've all talked endlessly about how giveaway, takeaway, turnover ratio, how that is the biggest single indicator of wins and losses in the NFL. It just is. I mean, that's the game today. Do you realize the last time, you know how far back you have to go for the last game when the Eagles came out on the plus of giveaway takeaway?
How far back?
Kansas City last year.
That's brutal.
That's crazy.
11, it's been 11 games since you won giveaway takeaway. You didn't even win it yesterday.
Ray, why is this happening? Because Jalen previously, I thought, that was one of his biggest strengths, the decision-making with the RPO stuff and the, I don't know, his parsimoniousness, you know, like with the football, like the way that he valued the ball, and he just was a non-turnover creator. Now, you know, yesterday, what was that, his sixth turnover of the season, it just doesn't make any sense to me that going back to last year, when we know things were awry with the offensive coordinator, but we thought they were fixed now, why is it he's become a turnover creator? Which is the real Jalen Hurts?
Good question. I think everybody's asking it, including the coaches. You're right. I mean, before this spate of mistakes and mental mistakes, decision making mistakes, which are on him. I mean, there's no getting around that. You're right. He didn't turn the ball over. He made consistently good decisions with the ball, and he never turned it over in the red zone. Well, now he's throwing end zone interceptions like every week, you know. And you just can't win that way. I mean, they pulled it out yesterday, did they need that one. I mean, that was the game that kind of maybe has a chance to get him back on track, but to really pull this thing together and make a real run, which is what this whole thing is all about. You need him to play better. Now, last year, when everything kind of went sideways for everybody over those last 6-7 weeks, he was turning it over like crazy. And I don't want to say forgiving him, but I kind of put it in context in that the defense was so bad. The defense was so terrible over those last 6 weeks. my thought was that Hurts is thinking every time he goes on the field, I got to score a touchdown. You know, I got to score. Mm-hmm. I got to score 40 points to give us a chance to win, because our defense is just that. Our defense can't stop anybody. So if the quarterback's playing with that mentality that I have to score 40, I have to score in every possession, I have to score a touchdown every time I throw the ball, if he's really feeling that kind of pressure, then he's going to be making bad mistakes. His judgment's going to be clouded. I mean, those kinds of things are going to happen. But that was last year. You know, I was hoping to coming back this year that he'd begin to get those things out of his game. Now, we haven't seen that. Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen that. And, you know, yesterday the interception in the end zone, I mean, people are trying to lay it on Devontae Smith. I mean, yeah, look, I've seen Devontae Smith run better routes than that. I mean, I will say that. But, I mean, the Honey Badger's sitting on that thing the whole way. I mean, he's got that ball lined up the whole way. That's a ball he just can't throw. I mean, and he's been doing that way too much. Now, to his credit, I mean, at the end of the game, I mean, things are pretty dire. I mean, my God, you're losing. There's a minute to go. It's third and 16, deep in your own end of the field. He pulls it out and finds a way to win. And ultimately, that is the bottom line here. But moving forward, if you're going to really get this season right and get this team moving in the direction everybody thought at the beginning of the year they were going to move, the quarterback has to play better, more consistent football.
Sure. Do you see improvement in the way he's keeping his eyes downfield longer, the way that we are seeing a pocket that he's, you know, stepping up into this season? Are there differences, or is it more of, you know, the same sort of what you've come to expect, which is not quite enough?
Yeah, I think you kind of you got to factor in the idea that his best receiver isn't there, you know, and that changes the equation a lot. You know, mm-hmm. You take AJ Brown out of the offense, that changes a lot. Sure. But I mean, there are a couple things that I do like. I think that he's been, in terms of when he takes off and running the ball, I think he's been more decisive in doing that.
Oh, my gosh. And he looks so good, like so healthy when he does that this year compared to what I was fearing.
Yes, for sure. I mean, that's a plus. Some of the decisions with the ball in his hand, not so good. I think he's holding the ball too long again. Mm-hmm. I think there's some things they just have to work out. I mean, you've got a new offense. You got a new offensive coordinator. I mean, there's some things in the new offense I think look pretty good to me. I like some of the motion. I like some of the formation changes.
Yeah.
There's certainly more nuance to this offense, the way Kellen Moore's running it. That was necessary, and it's welcome. But a lot of it comes down to, you know, what the quarterback's seeing and what he's doing with the ball in his hands. And on a week-to-week basis, he just has to become more consistent for this team to keep winning football games.
Ray, let's talk about, and Ray Dittinger with us, as he will be every Monday following an Eagles game here on WIP the next day. So, Ray, let's talk about the head coach. I want to play a game called True or False. We've heard of that game before, right? So that's a basic one, right, Seltzer?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We play that in kindergarten,
I think.
Pretty
simple.
All right, so, Ray, here's how this game goes. I'm going to make a statement and then ask you a question. While Nick Sirianni deserves credit for the team showing fight and resiliency, to a large extent yesterday, the team won in spite of Nick Sirianni. True or false, Ray?
True. True.
How concerned are you with the head coach right now?
Concerned. Because I think he's finding his way. You know, I think he's... You know, he's sort of cast this new role for himself where he's turning the offense over to Kellen Moore, he's turning the defense over to Vic Fangio, and he's going to be sort of the overseer head coach. He's going to be the head coach.
Ray, you said he cast that role for himself. Do you feel as though that is the case, or the organization cast that role for him? You know, like, it does. The semantics do make a difference in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it does. But the fact of the matter is that's where you are. You know, I mean, whether he came upon this idea on his own or whether the people above him in the organization came to him and said, hey, this is the way it's going to be, the fact is that's what you're dealing with. And it's different, and he has to figure out the difference. I mean, some of the decisions he made yesterday were just baffling to me, mm-hmm. frankly. I mean, the going for it at the end of the half made no sense. I just don't know how you even begin to try to justify that. Because where you are in that situation, even if you make it, you're probably going to want to kick in a field goal anyway.
Correct.
So if that's the case, then
that's a one-play difference.
Okay. Why risk not getting on a fourth down and getting nothing in a half when you're sitting on a donut? I mean, I don't understand that. And of course, he could talk endlessly about some of the decisions that were made last week. I think that I accept the fact and I recognize the fact that things have changed in the on-field, in-game decision-making process there. You probably got all those coaches are trying to find their way, figuring out exactly what their role is. I think it's pretty clear for Kellen Moore, and I think Vic Fangio, they kind of know what they're doing. But I think Nick is the guy who has to figure out what he's going to be doing in it. And I think he's still... Some of the decisions he's making now, I think he's trying to press the aggressive aspect of it to try and get this team back on track. But I think there are sometimes not all situations are created equal, and there are times when I know he likes to go for it on fourth down, and I know he likes to be aggressive. And listen, here's the other part of it. Okay, the other part of it is we all know that there is a whole wing of the NovaCare building that is full of analytics people. I mean, they have one whole side of their building is analytics people. And sometimes when Nick is doing stuff, we know that analytics people in most of those situations will want to go for it. You know, they're inclined to go for it on fourth down, and they will give you all the numbers and all the stats to support that side of the argument. Nick knows that if he makes a decision in a game that is contrary to that, that if he's going to, it's fourth down, oh man! In this situation, I don't think we should go for it. I think we should take the 3 points. There's a part of him that could be thinking, you know, tomorrow when I go in the office, you know, I'm going to have to answer for that. You know, the analytics guys are going to be down here saying, well, why didn't you do that? You know what the numbers are. We told you what the numbers are. In those situations, that's what you're supposed to do. Why did you kick the field goal? Is he bowing to that? If he is, I think it's a mistake.
Totally.
I think as a coach, in the middle of the game, you have to make those decisions based on what your good common football sense tells you to do.
Absolutely, yeah. So it sounds like you feel that Nick is sort of like feeling his way into like where he's supposed to coach from this season. Have you ever seen a team where the head coach is sort of unsure of what his role was during a season? I mean,
Let me say this. I don't think it's as unsure as you think it is. First off, and we're going to play this audio in a moment, we found out yesterday, post-game, Sirianni has more of a hand in this than we thought prior to the game, because he announced after the game that he called the play on fourth and one that was the fake and let's have Saquon run it. So, you know,
did you believe him?
100%, million percent. So, I mean, Ray, that was, I thought, a very matter of fact, let's play that audio. James, I want to play this because this ties into it. I mean, Ray, we speculated last week whether the head coach even had the authority from the owner and the general manager to override a play call of the offense coordinator. We found out yesterday very clearly that he does. Let's listen to what Sirianni said.
And just so anyone's wondering, Kellen, on that fourth and one at the end of the half, I called that, not Kellen. So I called that play at the end of the half. Kellen did not. I called it.
Why?
That's what I thought was best for the football team at that particular case. That was my decision. I did it. It didn't work. And we'll get better. I'll get better from it.
The first play from last week?
That's a play I thought was working in the best situation in that particular case, and it didn't work. And that's not on Kellen. That's not on the players. I put him in a bad spot, and I made that call.
All right, so, Ray, admirable that he steps up and states that, right, obviously taking accountability for it, but also incredibly notable because we wondered last week whether he even had the authority to do that.
Yeah, well, he has to. As the head coach, he has to have oversight. I mean, he's an offensive coach anyway, and – I mean, if you want to hand the play calling off to Kellen Moore, that's fine. I mean, he's done it before successfully, so that's fine. But, I mean, as the head coach, if you hear a call and you feel that it's flat-out wrong, then the head coach has to have the authority to say, no, we're not doing that. We're doing this. I mean, if not, then why is he there? You know, I mean, that's the head coach has to have that responsibility, especially if he is a head coach, if he's an offensive coach, if he's at that side of the ball coach anyway. I'm not so sure I believe what he said. I'm not so sure he wasn't trying to cover for Kellen Moore there.
100%.
Oh, I disagree entirely. You think he lied in that moment?
Yeah, I think it's.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I don't know that.
He lied in Seattle to cover for his players.
Well, I wouldn't say he told us he lied. He tried to come up with an explanation.
Which was ridiculous,
but I wouldn't call it a lie.
I think this is in...
Well, let's just be clear, guys. If Kellen Moore called the 4th-and-1 play, not to choose to go for 4th-and-1, but that specific play, if Kellen Moore called it, then Sirianni lied yesterday stating what he said. I don't think that happened, but Ray, you and Ree and John all seem to think that happened. Okay.
He takes the bullet for people. That's part of what he thinks is. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened, but I think it's I certainly think it's entirely possible. I mean, I think it's entirely possible that that thing blew up in their face big time. Okay. And everybody is screaming about what a stupid thing to do. I think maybe in that spot he's saying, okay, I'm going to step up and take the bullet. Really, that's what I was thinking. But the other part of it is, you should never even had that decision. Okay, just kick the field goal. Okay, just kick the field goal and go into halftime 3-3 and happy with that.
Totally agree.
That's my general feeling about this. I mean, he's just trying to, you know, after that loss on Monday night and then going down into this situation, he was just reaching for stuff that to me didn't make a whole lot of sense, but thought was sending a positive message to the team that I believe in you. I still think we can do this. Okay, let's go out and make it happen. And it almost cost him another game.
Ray, I want to get one more in here. I know your time's a little tight today, so let me get to this question about the defense. Last week, after the game, we felt we had a major problem this year with this defense. Now we should feel what this year about this defense?
I thought yesterday they played very well, extremely well, and showed you that they weren't as bad as everybody was saying they were last week. I mean, last week we were saying that we were wondering if they could play at all.
Right.
Okay. Yesterday they demonstrated that they could, and also demonstrated that in Vic Fangio they had a coach who's capable of making significant adjustments from week to week that can be difference making on the scoreboard, and that's what you saw yesterday. I mean, you saw a lot of five-man front. Okay, he knew what he was dealing with when he went into New Orleans. I mean, he had clearly studied the film of that Saints offense, which was dynamic through the first two games. And he knew that the only way we can deal with this is we got to go five-man front and stop that run. Because everything they had done in the first 2 weeks came off the run. Carr was having a great year. He was completing 70% of his passes, averaging 11 yards an attempt. But it was all working off the run. Everything they were doing was working off the run. So Fangio knew going into this game that our only chance to win this game, to slow this team down, was we got to go five man front, and we got to bring Bond and Dean up closer to the line of scrimmage, and we just got to be solid at the line of scrimmage. And having done that, after having drawn all that stuff up, then we got to get these guys playing better. And you know, Davis played better significantly.
Yeah.
And Carter played the way Carter's capable of playing. Carter is a difference making player. Can be a difference making player. He hadn't been the first two games, but boy, he sure was yesterday. But a lot of it was the stuff that Vic brought in here, that he came in with a defensive scheme that you put a lot of pressure on his secondary because you go five man front and you bring up your linebackers to stuff the run. You're asking a lot of the guys on the back end, but they held up, and the guys up front were able to shut down that Saints running attack.
Hey, Ray, great stuff, man. We love having you on the program every Monday after the game. Ray, thanks so much. Have a great day, Ray.
All right, you guys do the same.
Thanks.
There he is, the Diddy, Ray Dininger. So typically, Ray will be with us starting at 7:55 on Mondays. He just, from a scheduling standpoint, needed to move it up a little bit today. Gives us a chance now to get some reaction at 215-592-9494 on the phone lines. We'll remind you, two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which individual or group is most responsible for the Eagles' win yesterday? Is it A, Saquon, B, Dallas Goedert, or C, the defense? Second poll question, what stands out to you more from yesterday's Eagles' win? Is it the positives or the negatives? There were a lot of positives. There were a lot of negatives. That's been a trait through three games this year. I mean, look, we know the Eagles don't stink. We also know they're far from elite. I mean, we knew in 04, we could feel pretty early in 2017. We certainly knew, you know, pretty damn early in 2022, there was an elite football team in Philadelphia. This team's not elite. That's clear. They're a work in progress. That's obvious. They're in a weak division. That's pretty clear.
The fact that they're being pulled down by the coaching is clear.
Well, the head coach is causing problems in games. He's making it more difficult. There's no question about that.
And I have a hypothetical for you. Jalen Carter. Mm-hmm. Jalen Carter, does it worry you that he showed us in this game that the first two games of the season, he underperformed?
Of course.
I mean, that to me, wow, is mind-boggling.
But we knew that. But, John, we knew that. Because
well,
we saw him last year dominate.
How dramatic.
No, we saw him dominate last year.
Performance was. I honestly had forgotten how great he could be and how dominant he could be. And now you put him next to a motivated and much more in shape Jordan Davis. Wow. It, for the first time, it actually feels like, wow, it's a plan that's coming together.
Well,
guys.
I to me, it's a little early to say that. I separate the two big time. I think Jalen Carter is way better than Jordan Davis.
The point that Ray was talking about, a lot of times we're in a nickel look, like just all four down, you know, let's go rush the passer. What we're doing now, we've got a very clear run-stopping look, and it's not just your standard 3-4, it's also what would be called a 5-2. You know, they're throwing some variety, some real, geez, honest to goodness, physics and heft. You know, when you got those guys on the inside.
It was a great defensive performance yesterday.
And you're covering up the center and both guards on some occasions. That makes it really hard for offenses to sort that out. You know, that bear look, or they also call it Navajo, they call it jam, that messes with the scheme. And Vic Fangio not only had his guys ready this week to play tougher, you know, to play a more rugged brand of football, but it was just smarter. You know, when they were trying to run it, we had more guys in the box and we were varying the looks
up, and
we were bringing guys off the edge at times with some tasteful, you know, tasteful times. I loved the way he called the game.